May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. As some of you might know, my dad got retired a few weeks ago, and right now he's enjoying 1 month of holiday. He actually said that he needs a timeout to settle in with the thought and to figure out what he wants to do next. To be frank, I always knew that he has mixed feelings about getting retired, and as a good daughter, I wanted to do something about it. So I decided to give him a card on the last day of his work. And when I was looking for a nice card, I came across some really funny ones. One card said this: when you retire, you switch bosses from the one who hired you to the one who married you. I don't know why these jokes work, but maybe because there is some truth to it. Anyway, another one, which I really liked but didn't choose in the end, was saying this: warning, retired person on premises knows everything and has plenty of time to tell it. But as I said, I didn't choose that one. Anyway, all kidding aside, there will certainly be a time for all of us when we have to stop what we are doing and are forced to face a future, an uncertain future. It can be at work just before retirement, or on a personal level, when your health is so bad that you can't maintain the house which you have bought, or when you are changing job. And at that point, whether we like it or not, we have to think about handing over the baton to someone else. We have to think about who will take over this thing which has been so dear to our heart. Who will be worthy of carrying on our legacy, which we are leaving behind? Because this legacy is the thing which took so much of hard work, it cost us so much, and so when we pass on the baton, we want to make sure we choose good people, capable people, who love to build on the fruits of our hard work, and whom we trust to carry on with our legacy in the manner we would have. But St. Paul, in today's reading, takes a totally different approach. He does something really strange. Paul's second letter to Timothy was probably the final letter he ever wrote in his life. He was sitting in Rome in a prison, and he knew he would be executed in a couple of days. And I'm sure Paul gave good thought about whom he would write to before he dies. So he decided to address his final letter to Timothy, a young chap in his 30s, even though in fact he knew many great and very capable people. But instead of choosing to pass on his final instructions concerning his work, his Christian legacy, to someone with a great reputation, like, let's say, Luke or Peter, who surely could have carried on with Paul's work, he thought about Timothy. That's strange, isn't it? It's true that Timothy had been part of Paul's life for more than a decade, and he sure had many good traits. He had been a trustworthy friend. He had helped Paul to establish churches in various places, and he had also gone to different churches on Paul's behalf. So beyond any doubt, Timothy has always been very trustworthy and loyal. And as Paul says, he also had been strong in faith. But yet there is a huge difference between Paul and Timothy. Who is Paul, this great man of inner strength, a pillar of faith, who exactly knew what he wanted, who was ready to face any consequences whatsoever for what he believed. And here was Timothy, kind of weak, scared and timid, only carrying out Paul's instructions, never taking the lead, staying in the background, keeping it low. So how in the world could Paul trust that Timothy could carry on when Paul wouldn't be there anymore to give him direction? Well, Paul knew that Timothy's problem was not that he was not capable. His problem was his fear. His fearfulness kept him from using the talents God had given him. He was so insecure about being young. Probably he feared that people would look at him and see a greenhorn. And I'm sure he was also insecure because he was working alongside strong men like Paul or Barnabas. But Paul, on the other hand, knew very well that this attitude would drive Timothy away from the ministry in the long run. Because Christian ministry is filled with hardships, and one is prone to get hurt. And if you only have learned to look at the boundaries and limits, and to get stuck with your hurts and pains, you will not be able to carry on at all. So Paul, this great veteran of faith, has just one advice for Timothy before he leaves this world. He says, "Timothy, rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Rekindle the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So rekindle that gift which is in you by using it, practicing it, and by becoming better at it. Because God doesn't want you to be insecure. That will only lead you to be a coward. He has given you a spirit of power. The power to amass knowledge. The power to learn. And he has given you a spirit of love. To love what you are doing. To love those whom you are serving. And he has given you a spirit of self-discipline, to stick to what you are doing even when things get hard, and to put aside time to engage with it." And then Paul even goes a step further and says in verses 8 and 9, "Timothy, rely on the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." So in other words, Paul says, "Timothy, remember that your ministry, this work which you are dedicating to God, isn't really your thing. It is something which God has called you to do, and he has a purpose for it. He has given it to you through grace, and you have a love for it because God has put that love in your heart. So rely on the power of God who has called you with a holy calling. God has put you in that place to pass on his grace and love to others, not to keep it to yourself, but to pass it on, and to make you grateful for making you part of his plan." We can sort of think of it like an aid worker. Aid workers distributing food which others have donated. The aid worker is a steward. He doesn't own the food, he just supplies it. And likewise, we are stewards of God's grace. His grace, which will never run out, even if you are tired, if you are scared or worn out, doesn't matter. So Paul knew that the purpose of Christian ministry is not to make others like us. The purpose is rather to enable them to be open to God so that he can do in them what will bless them and glorify God. I'm sure Paul would have destroyed Timothy's spirit altogether if he had said, "Timothy, you really should be more like me and shouldn't whine like this." But Paul didn't take that approach. No, Paul said, "Timothy, it's God who has given you this love to work for Christ. It is him who has called you to do this. So look to him. He will bless you and give you the power to overcome all obstacles, including your fear. So don't worry. Don't worry." These are Paul's final words to Timothy. "Don't worry, because God is with you." So may we, like Timothy, learn to look to God when we feel insecure. And may we, like Paul, pass on any advice, not pointing to us, but pointing to God's grace and love. Amen.